stop for a moment and I just want to congratulate our dream team. Over the last couple months, our dream team has tripled in size. And there are more people serving every Sunday to just make this the most incredible environment of the weekend. We recently had Steve Krajenka, some of you know him, become the dream team coordinator of our church and just kind of getting more clarity and leadership, clarity and communication, and just building the overall dream team throughout the week, but especially here on Sundays. And it's tripled over the last couple months. And I just want to say how important that is. Why? I want you to think about it like this. How many things do you do every single week? Like, how many things do you do every single week that literally is going to last and impact the next couple million years of your life? And I did say a couple million years of your life. The reality is very few things we do every week is going to last the next million years of our life. That really is going to have a lasting impact far beyond anything we could have imagined. But the beauty is when we serve at the local church on Sunday, we're literally a part of something that's impacting millions and millions of years. We're impacting eternity. Every time somebody raises a hand in our service, that and you serve that Sunday, wherever you serve, cafe, Coastline Kids, parking lot, First Impressions, you are a part of that. You are a part of something that's going to last for eternity. And that's powerful to think that I'm a part of something every week that's making a difference, that's going to last over the next couple million years, that is going to go on forever and ever and ever, and there's power in being a part of a team. So I tell the church all the time, and I really believe this, I am not the most important part of our team on Sunday because I get to stand on stage with a microphone. I'm just one part of our team on Sunday. In fact, if the First Impressions team and the parking lot team and the cafe team and the kids team, if they don't do their job, it really doesn't matter what I say on Sunday. People aren't going to raise their hand. No one's going to be changed. And so the teams that are, you know, outside of this building, serving, making this the friendliest environment, I get comments every single week now by first-time visitors that said, that is the friendliest church we've ever been to, and we've been to church in the South. And they say, we're more friendly. Like, we've created this environment where people feel loved and they feel welcomed and they feel accepted. So I just want to applaud our dream team. Those of you who serve on a regular basis, let's just give our dream team a hand. You're making a difference. And let me just clarify it. We have no volunteers on our dream team. We don't allow people to volunteer in our church. The people who serve on our dream team are doing what they were created to do. That's the difference. You're doing what you were created to do. I don't know if you've ever driven down the road and seen like a severed foot on the side of the road. And not to be crude, but they're just disgusting. I mean, they rot, they stink, they're decaying. They're just nasty looking, just, you know, on the side of the road, just like a, you know, severed foot. Hopefully you don't, you know, see that often in America. But, you know, just see a severed foot. Now, why is it so nasty and disgusting? Why does it smell and decay? Because there's no blood flowing through it. Talk to any doctor, there's no blood. It's not attached to the body, so there's no life. The life is in the blood. There's no blood flowing through it. It's not attached, and it dies. Well, a lot of you have tried to figure out, why don't I feel any life to my faith? Why is there no life to my, because there's no blood flowing through it. So I think what happens is God oftentimes, he looks down from heaven and he sees a bunch of severed body parts in churches. People who show up on Sunday, but they're not connected. They haven't found their place. And I believe, because Paul said it in Scripture, at the direction of God, that every person who is a part of the local church has a place in the local church. Every person, you're either a foot, a hand, an eye, a toe, something. Now, what we don't want is we don't want feet to volunteer to be hands because we need hands. That's bad. We don't want feet acting like hands. That's why we don't have volunteers. We have a dream team. We want people to find their place. Like, if you're a foot, we want you to be a foot. If you're a hand, be a hand, but we want you to be connected to the body. We don't want you to be a severed body part with no life flowing through you and just you know, be connect, and that's the power of the dream team. 6 weeks from now, it will be Easter Sunday, and we're kind of gearing up early. And one of the things I want to do this year for Easter is I want to highlight some of the changed lives, because every Easter, there's a lot of people who come to church who don't typically come to church. We want them to know that church is not just valuable once a year, but there's life change that happens. So this is what I'm asking you to do, is share your story with us. On the back of every worship guide, it says share your story, and it has an email address, info@coastlinechurch.org. Now, we know it's God, but God uses people. And so if God has used this church in your life in any way, like restored a marriage or restored a relationship or brought you some healing or freedom in your life or just kind of brought you to a new level spiritually, we would love to hear your story. We're collecting stories right now to kind of highlight some of the stuff that God is doing through this church and our community and the lives of the people here. So I encourage you to do that. Well, one of the things we want to do today is I want to highlight, we launch our spring semester of Connect Groups today, and it's not too late to find a group. And I just want to give you a snapshot of some of the Connect Groups of our church and let you meet some of the leaders of the variety of different hubs. So I've got, I think there's 6 leaders this service that are going to join me on stage and come and share. So why don't you guys come on up and take a seat with me, and we're going to have a little panel and let you meet and hear from some of the Connect Group leaders in our church. This is If this service is anything like the 8 or the 9:30 service, you're going to love it. I had a little message prepared at the end. I was going to do like a little 10-minute, you know, mini message for you. They stole my message. Like all of my points, they, without even knowing what my message was, they did it. And I didn't even have to preach at the end. I was just able to say, well, let's pray, because they did such a fantastic job. And these are real people just like you, leading. And so we're going to hear from them. Now, the way we do Connect Groups is we run them on semesters, and we have 8 hubs. Now, a hub is an area of ministry. I personally believe every church needs 8 areas of ministry to be a healthy church. Now, we have Connect Groups outside of these 8 hubs, but we want to make sure we have these 8 areas of ministry covered in our church. And it's men, women, marriage, students and teenagers, kind of the youth hub, finance, helping people get out of debt and be good stewards, outreach, going out, make a difference in the community, prayer hub, prayer is very big in our church, and then the life, which is freedom and deliverance. And we had 90 spots available for life this semester, and we have 109 people signed up. Now, they just opened up a couple more spots for us, so there's literally 2 to 3 spots for men available and 2 to 3 spots for women available. So if you've not signed up yet, and that's something that's really been on your heart, you need to sign up today. And again, I told you last week, be selfish. Go get those 2 or 3 spots that are available. Don't be nice and say, well, we'll just give them to somebody else. No, you go after those spots and get them. If you have any leading at all, do it. What I'd like to do right now is I want to highlight some of the hubs and some of the leaders. Now, we've got over 40 leaders this semester leading Connect Groups. This is just 6 of them. All 40 of them have incredible stories and incredible groups. And so this is not to say these are the 6 best. We're just saying, listen, you know, they're going to encourage you to join any group, even if it's not theirs. I just want them to talk kind of about their hub, about what Connect Groups have personally meant to them, and why they're so valuable for our church. So let me start by introducing you to Tina Hillman. She's representing our stewardship hub, our finance and stewardship. Her and her husband, Scott, are leading a group this semester. So Tina, talk about Connect Groups, and then a little bit about you guys' group and hub.
Okay. First of all, my feelings are a little hurt, because I thought we were asked to be up here, because we were the favorites. And I'm just feeling a little emotional now that I find out we're not the favorites, but that's okay. Connect Groups are very close to my heart because I've had a little bit of a journey, Scott and I both, trying to kind of find our place in church, be it this church or another church. And I kind of want to see if I can kind of paint a picture for you. You know, you show up here on campus, whether you've been here a while or you're brand new, and if you aren't in a Connect Group, then you might find the dynamic interesting. There might be something, you know, you see people interacting and you see a love or you see some kind of, like, people are in deep conversation and maybe you can't sort out why. Well, I know why. It's because they're connected. And more specifically, they have found freedom through connection. Because I know from experience that if you think that there is safety and security in anonymity, that you are wrong. Because the devil loves and lives to get you alone. And you may be in a body of people like you are right now, but none of you are talking to each other. You're all looking up here. That's not connection. And that's what Aaron's talking about, how you need to be, you can observe the body on Sunday, but you can't be part of the body on Sunday. And so so if you want to kind of find out what that's all about, what it's like to be connected, and what it's like to find freedom, then you really have to do it in the context of relationships, just like everybody says around here. It really does happen in the context of people. And so it's too, you know, Satan is the father of lies, and it's so much easier for him to lie to you when he has you all to himself. And it's so much harder for him to convince you of the lie if you're surrounded by people who love you and pray for you. and who have common ground with you and will walk with you through whatever. Because Aaron is good. I've been in a lot of churches. I grew up in church, and he's good. But like he says, he's not that good. Because you know what? At the end of the day, he's pretty good. But what he can't do is he can't walk it out with you through the week. So you have to find people who can walk it out with you through the week. So that's what connect groups are for. Scott and I, just a little personal testimony about connect groups in our previous churches when we first discovered connect groups, and Scott was all on fire for the Lord because he was a new Christian, and I was an old Christian and not so on fire, and so I was like, he's like, let's go to the church in our neighborhood. I'm like, wow, what if we have neighbors and then go to our church, and then it's like, that is way too close for comfort. And so we started going to this church, and we sat in the back, and then I didn't have to wear makeup or, you know, anything. I could wear sweats, and this is how we rolled for a little while. And then this guy, Lou Florio, kind of cornered us over and over. You got to come to my connect group. I cook dinner for everybody. And we're like, oh, my gosh. So finally Scott says, if we come once, will you leave us alone? Like, if we just come, will you leave us alone? He said, I'll never invite you again. So we're like, okay, we'll come. And so we did. We went that one night, and we went the next week, and we went the week after that, and we have been consistently in connect groups, both in that church and in Coastline, since then. And the only thing that barred us when we started at Coastline, coming to Coastline, was that we couldn't find one that worked for our schedule and had childcare. So Scott and I have a group, as do other groups, that provides childcare. So we'll kind of get into that. But I just want to say one last thing about connect groups in general. We are not inviting you to connect groups. We are trying to compel you to join a connect group. So when I first started dating Scott, I used to sit on the beach and watch him surf, and you know, I was so in love. But what I kept thinking was, I want to learn how to surf. So Scott didn't offer to teach me. He didn't say, hey, if you decide you want to surf, let me know. He bought me a wetsuit. So then I had to go because he compelled me. He spent all this money. So I have to get in the water and I have to actually like do this thing. So consider this, can the Coastline buying you a wetsuit? You have to now, we're going to give it to you, and your job is just to put it on and get your feet in the water, because you won't ever surf if you don't get your feet in the water. And so there's steps, and there's baby steps, and we're all about the journey. We're all about steps. We're not all about getting there, you know, in one fell swoop. It doesn't work like that. Nobody's going to ask you to do that. But if you are afraid, then the first thing you have to do is just say yes, because there's your part and there's God's part. Your part is to say yes and show up, and that liberates God to do his part. So Scott and I are leading a connect group, a Crown Money Life Personal Finance Study. It falls under the Stewardship Hub. The stewardship, if you don't know, a lot of us think stewardship is managing your money well. I learned from our estate planning attorney, because my dad was diagnosed with dementia many years ago, and my sister and I had to take over being trustees of his trust. And our estate planning attorney says, do you understand what stewardship is? We're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And she's like, well, let me just make sure. So this is how she defined it. Stewardship is managing somebody else's money and possessions the way they would manage their money and possessions. So it wasn't up to me to manage my father's estate the way I thought was best. It was up to me to manage his estate the way he would do it, the way I believed he would do it. So heads up if you don't know, all your stuff is God's. And so we are just managing God's estate. And so we cannot manage God's estate the way he would do it if we don't know how he wants us to do it. So therefore the study. So there's a lot that we talk about. Debt, investing, giving, savings, there's a lot of things. So if you're buried in debt, I urge you to come to our Money Life group. If you are totally debt-free and financially squared away, I urge you to come to our Money Life Connect group, because I promise you there is something that you're going to discover there, and it's going to change the way you do things. The biggest thing for Scott and I when we first took Crown is we weren't buried in debt. We were pretty squared away. But what we realized, we had no idea what God had to say about our money and our possessions. And, you know, honestly, it's kind of sad to say, I don't think we really realized or really thought about that it was all God's. That he just lets us use it. And that was a life-altering realization to have. And I'll tell you, when you are liberated from a world's view of money and possessions, and I don't mean just, you know, being materialistic. I'm talking, like, how you do stuff, how you prioritize. And the Bible talks about all of these things. But when you're liberated from a world's view, and you are then able to make decisions based on a biblical perspective, you will make different decisions. And even other Christians will advise you to do things one way. That doesn't mean they have a biblical perspective on stewardship. Because I was a Christian for many years and did not have a biblical perspective on stewardship. So it will change the way you do things. And we've made some dramatic decisions, I feel like, and things that people advised us specifically to not do. But we felt like they were sound and they were based in godly stewardship. And we have never regretted any of those decisions. In fact, they've been life-changing. And the other thing I want to say about our Connect group and what you might take away from it is, again, depending on where you are in your financial journey, I think the thing that all of us can probably desire is to leave a legacy for our children. I am incredibly blessed to come from a mother and father who modeled godly stewardship, and not just with tithing, because it goes so far beyond that, but my husband Scott was able to take a job a year and a half ago that was commission only, which is, I mean, if I guess we'd had piles of money, that wouldn't have been an issue, but it was an issue. But you know what we did have is I had an inheritance. And that enabled Scott to do exactly what we believe in to this day. He is exactly where God wants him. But we could not have done this without my parents having left a legacy of godly stewardship in the form of an inheritance and many other things. And so I encourage you to think about what kind of legacy you want to leave for your children. Because it's not just about managing your stuff right now, what you have right now. It's about what you are going to model and teach your children so that they can have a life that's changed, so that their children have a life that's changed. And so that would be probably the biggest overarching thing that I want you to consider is, you know, do you want to be set apart? Do you want to be holy? Do you want to leave a legacy for your family, for your kids? Because there's a way. God has it all mapped out for us. We just have to say yes, show up, and let him do his part.
Isn't that great?
Amen.
Man, I love hearing the variety of people we have in our church. Mona was recently licensed by our church as a minister of the gospel. She's our prayer pastor, oversees the prayer hub in our church. And I want her to talk about the prayer hub and all that's going on through prayer.
Woohoo! Let's hear it for prayer. Amen. Prayer changes things. We all know that. But do we really? Here at Coastline, this is such an awesome church because we are so blessed to have a pastor and his wife who are so passionate about prayer. Prayer is the foundation of this church. This is why Coastline is so successful. It's because of praying men and women who believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm just so excited to be involved in this prayer hub. We have prayer offered here twice a week, Wednesday morning, 6:30 to 7:30. Saturday mornings, 9 to 10, right here in this worship center. Come, learn how to pray. Pray with us. It's an awesome time to just develop your prayer life with the Lord, because this is how we communicate with God. Every one of these hubs, every connection group has to have somebody praying behind the scenes to make it successful. Amen? Amen. Amen. We also have a group of people that are the prayer, care, and visitation. And on your connection card, there's an area that if you desire for someone to call you during the week and pray with you, we'll get in touch with you. Or if you want someone to come to your home and pray with you, we will do that as well. This is an awesome opportunity for all of us to engage with each other, to get connected, to feel part of the body of Christ. And in addition, just this year, we're starting this month a new prayer dream team, which consists of 2 to 4 people that will be praying in the green room, which is located right behind this wall here, for each and every service. What they're going to be doing is lifting up the congregation, because we have new people coming in all the time that are just hearing about the love of Jesus. We're going to be undergirding Pastor Aaron as he preaches the word and all of the dream teams that are on campus. And so I encourage you to think about this. Next Saturday, I'm going to be having a meeting here right after Saturday morning prayer. The meeting's going to run from 10:15 to about 10:45 or so in the cafe. I will give you instruction, encouragement, answer any questions you may have about prayer. So I am calling you, whether you are a seasoned prayer warrior or you are a brand new believer in Jesus, all right, come and pray with us. We just got through singing. I have decided to follow Jesus. When you follow Jesus, it means that you want to be in connection with him. Mm-hmm. And that has to be the first way. Then you get connection with everybody else. So come and join us in prayer. Amen?
So let me emphasize, behind this wall, every service, we have a team praying right now, praying for you, praying for the message. And we started that today, something we've been working on building. And you're going to see the effectiveness of these services go up over the next couple months just by adding these people praying behind this wall. So if you're passionate about prayer, talk to us. Let me introduce you now to Joe Wirth. He's leading one of our men's connect groups. We got two men's groups we're going to highlight today. We've got great women's groups in our church, but I'm loving the men of our church and how they're really leading and stepping up. So Joe, talk about connect groups personally and just your group.
Absolutely. Thank you, Aaron. I knew I was going to have a couple minutes to share, and I really didn't want to share whatever I came up with, because what God can come up with is always a lot better. So I was asking the Holy Spirit just what he wanted me to share, and he kind of took me back to the beginning. It was Genesis 1 of kind of some things that happened there right at the beginning of God created the heavens and the earth, and he said it was good, and then he created the animals, and he created Adam, and each after each he said it was good. And then he created North County, and is that the one he said it was really?
Yeah.
Good? No. Oh, it was really good.
Really good.
But after all of that, there was one thing that God said was not good. Does anybody know what that is?
Man to be alone.
That's right. It's not good for man to be alone. And shortly after he says it's not good for man to be alone, we kind of have the fall, and the first thing that Adam does, Adam and Eve, but we're focusing on men, so we're focused on the Adam side of things, is he gets a fig leaf and he hides. And then even when God searches him out, he said, I was afraid, so I hid. And I think I look back, I grew up in the church, Southern Baptist Church in Florida, and just kind of the whole religious pose is the thing about growing up in the church is you can get, like, really good at the religious pose. And as guys, it's so easy to pose in so many different areas. I mean, I was just a full-on, like, poser, a compilation of all the favorite people that I knew or saw on TV. And, I could do that well. You kind of had the work pose, and then, around your friends that pose, and then around different friends a different pose. And the religious pose is just a whole different, just type of poser. And you can hide really well in the religious pose. And so I did it for a long time, and it was fall 2012, which it's weird. I feel like a baby Christian at this point, having grown up in the church, but fall 2012, I found myself at a boot camp, Wild at Heart boot camp up in the mountains. I didn't even know what it was. I never read the book. Didn't know anything about it. But God had different plans. And I got hurt, and I was kind of the man down. And I was sitting in a chair, and this guy came up. And all those years in the church, nobody ever prayed for me and actually took the risk of sharing words from the Father. And something opened up inside of me with all that posing and everything, all the stuff I knew about the word and, all the knowledge I had. Something opened up when he just said a couple simple words that he said, I'm proud of you. And him taking the risk of sharing something from God. And then me with, just a full-on double life going on, how hard it was to accept those words and realizing there was something radically wrong with my religious pose, radically wrong with the way I had even approached the stuff that I knew intellectually. And so the last 3 years has been a real journey. We moved here, and then we found that we drove past this church a bunch, and because we preferred to hide in, other churches, and then church hop, like, every 6 months, because then it's just, nobody would find you out. You could pull your pose off a lot better sitting in the back. So we kept driving by this. My wife, Rebecca, one day was like, hey, I feel like we're supposed to check. And I was like, no, I just got invited to a baseball game with, the men's leaders of this other church. And, and it just felt like our thing. It had been 6 months, and, it was like our time to bounce, And I just said, we're not going to do that this time. And so we did. We came and checked it out. And I noticed something very different here. And it's the same thing that Aaron mentioned that people say to him is that people seem free. I didn't see the all too comfortable pose, you meet some, I'll pray for you, brother, all right. You know, it just it wasn't like that. It was genuine. Like, people were free. And then, you know, Aaron and I got to talking, and I learned a little bit about the life group. And I had been through some of the boot camps and seen that on the men's side of things. And I don't think it was something as special about the boot camp, which I think was awesome. And I've led a Wild at Heart small group here. I think it was a lot more about the context of relationship and getting, you know, just being open, just recognizing, I mean, the church's motto is there's no perfect people allowed. I think, you know, the men's group motto should be there's no perfect dudes allowed. I mean, you got to come and actually, you know, open up a little bit. And it's not, you know, everyone different, but just not feeling like you have to be perfect or you have to have your act together. And so that, for me, it was God who did that. And ultimately, he's going to draw you to the right group, but just having an openness that I had. I need to get to know some people. You know, some people say if you want to know who you're going to be in 5 years, you know, show me the five people you're spending the most time with. And so at this church, you got a lot of awesome people. And gosh, I mean, we were promoting. I love Aaron for promoting this so much because it's the real deal. Is get connected. You know, we've got so. This semester, I kind of will pick something. Now we've led some groups, and I'll pick something that I feel like God's really wanting to work with me on or that I want to learn a lot more about. So I figure, well, someone else may want to as well. But I was given a book about Solomon called The Richest Man Who Ever Lived, and it's by an author named Stephen Scott. And I think he failed out of his, like, first seven jobs. And then someone said, hey, introduced him to Solomon and introduced him to some of the Proverbs and some of the wisdom there. And he started to follow it, and his career radically, I mean, he generated billions of dollars for different companies, and it wasn't just about the finance piece. It was just the fact that Solomon, it's life, it kind of covers all areas. Solomon, God said he's the wisest man that ever lived, you know, he's the richest man that ever lived. And so we're going to go through the book and learn some of that wisdom and try to, you know, to keep from the religious pose, try to keep from the, you know, the theory of it. This is so easy to just agree on principles, but to really get into the practical and expect some genuine life change as we go through it together. So it's Tuesday mornings here in the Family Center at 6:30. And so hope if God puts it on your heart to join us, would love that. Actually, we came to the last service, and my wife wasn't going to lead a small group or a connect group this semester, and she handed me a note and said, hey, you know, because of the capacity in the life group sessions, do you want to host one? And so we were kind of passing notes back. No, not that I recommend that, but we were doing that. And we agreed that Thursday evenings we're going to offer that. If we can we jump in at the last minute and do that, Aaron?
Yeah, talk to Kathy. She'll get you ready. She'll get you going.
Okay, so Thursday evenings there'll be a new, awesome. We're addressing the capacity issue. So
thank you.
Psyched about that. Thank you.
Brandon has been in our church about a year, one of our newer members of the church, and him and his wife, Erin, are going to be leading one of our Marriage Connect groups. So, Brandon, talk about marriage.
All right. Thanks, Erin. So, just like probably about half of you out there, probably more than half, I have never been to a Connect group at this church. That is because we're new, but a lot of people are like that as well. So, I was sitting right over there about, gosh, what was that, January, when you threw out this is your year to go all in and just tell me how it goes, and it won't go wrong. I guarantee it, or you'll leave too, right?
So I will.
I'm like, man, that's big words.
We may be looking for a new church next year.
Hopefully, but this was the year. I remember sitting over there and God talking to me very directly, saying, "Go all in to this church this year, even though you're only about 6 months in." So this is the year we're going all in, and I thought maybe we'll just join a group. And then my wife's like, I think we should lead one. So here, I'm sitting up here now. But I think that's awesome. So at that same time, and I tell you that story because there's other people out there just like that, that you just need to take that step. And it's very easy to go onto the website and find a group. I'm representing the marriage groups, and I believe there's four marriage groups, and they range from everything from parenting. So I know there's a lot of people that are married and that have kids. So go to the parenting group or check ours. It's called Creating Your Life Plan. There's ones that are dealing with, I think, if you've been hurt in the past, you can go check out that group. So there's a little bit of everything. Make sure you go look at that online. But at that time when you threw out the go all in offer, I'm a big reader. And I love Donald Miller. He did the Blue Like Jazz book and a couple other ones. I just finished his newer one. And I got an email saying he does like a beginning of the year, start your year off great, and create your life plan. And go back and look at the things that were important to you in the past and pick those out and then set some goals for the future. And so I'm like, I'm going to do this year. And so I bought it, and I started doing it myself. And then I thought, you know, if I brought this to my wife and said, hey, let's do this together, that'd be major brownie points right there, right? So I'm thinking I'm hot stuff, and I go there. I'm like, babe, let's do this together. And we did it, and it worked because we were communicating. We were talking to each other. We were carving out time. We have three kids, and our life is, and they're all under six. So we're crazy right now. And to carve out time and just talk about life and our goals and things like that and communicate, things just felt really good. And then right at that time, you threw it out there, and I said, well, I think that this would be great in a group setting. So it's very interactive. It's led by Donald Miller and myself. We're tight. It'll be here at the church. There's no excuses. If you got kids, we've got childcare. It's Thursday nights, 6 o'clock, childcare, cookies, you name it. Come hungry. There's no excuses. And if you can't come to ours, please check out the website. There's plenty of marriage groups. There's couples life as well. There's something for everybody. So please make sure you check it out, and let this be the year that you go all in, because I think it'll change you. It's changed us.
Thanks, Brandon. We got two men up here this service because it's hard to get men off of their island. We like to live in an island as men. And so Dave's group almost didn't happen. He ran it in the fall, and a week before kickoff, he had nobody signed up, and he came to me frustrated. And I'm like, look, we gave you this massive lake to fish out of. Go fishing. And so the next Sunday, he showed up with posters and flyers and cards, and he built his group, and it turned into one of the most successful groups we had because it's about recruiting. And so, Dave, talk about men and connect groups and just what you shared last services.
All right, thank you. Our group is the Courageous Group, and I co-lead it with my good friend Michael here. And it's based on the movie Courageous that came out several years ago, and it's about a couple of guys, actually four guys, that are going through, there goes my notes. That's all right, I'll wing it. They go through various things in life, and they end up just trying to do life on their own, and they end up finding out that the way they're doing it isn't the right way to do it at all, and they find more power in doing it together and just trying to do it God's way. So to get into more about men's groups, I first want to ask, how many dads, husbands, fathers do we have here? Okay, it's about 12. It's the most there was in all three services. That's probably because it's the last service before kickoff. But so let me say something, and there it goes again, but don't worry about it. Let me talk to you about something you can all relate to. Tools. This is for the guys. Now, we all use tools, and tools are made as a tool for a purpose to build things. But they get dull, you know, our drill bits, our saws, our chisels, they all get dull, and they need to be resharpened, and they need to be reshaped, because we end up using them to pry open things that, you know, they're not meant to pry open. And so they need to be fixed, and they're not good at doing it themselves, so they need other tools to help sharpen them and reshape them. And as men of Christ, we are just like those tools, and we need to be resharpened and reshaped every once in a while, quite often, actually, speaking for myself. So God not only created men to build, but also to lead and protect and to teach. And God has also given us the authority and influence over our homes and our kids and our families and over other people that we work with daily. Some of you work here at the church. Some work in hospitals and schools. Some own karate studios. But if you're around other kids and young people, these guys are looking up to you. These kids are looking up to you, how you lead, how you protect, how you teach. And they're using that as their standard of, this is what I should be doing. And even if your kids are older and they've got families of their own, it's not too late to be saying, well, you know, I kind of missed the boat. I screwed up. There's nothing I can do. But, you know, as an adult child myself, I'm looking at my parents to say, how did you guys do things? What would dad do? What would I do that my dad could be proud of? So we're always looking for that approval, to that standard, to that legacy that was left before us. And I can hear some of you guys going, you know what, I messed up my life. It's too late. I don't want anyone looking up to me. And if you only knew some of the stuff that was in my past. But, you know, we've all come from a past that was not so perfect. You know, we've either made decisions on our own or decisions were made that affected how we were raised. And so we came from some not-so-perfect homes, and we walked through that mud, as I call it, and then we became adults. And we tracked that mud into our adult home. And that affects how we treat our spouses, how we raise our kids, how we treat our friends. And our kids see that, and they carry that on to the next generation. And so it goes. But, you know, Aaron's been talking about getting free and staying free. But you can't do it on your own, and that's why we have connect groups. And the Bible talks in Proverbs 27:17 about iron sharpens iron. That's the only way you're going to sharpen iron is through another piece of iron. And we need other men to help us be sharp. And so what Courageous does is it helps do a few things. It helps you reconcile your past. Get rid of that mud on your shoes so you're not continuing to drag it forward. It's not too late to do that. I don't care how old your kids are. And it helps you to re-engage with your current family, because some of us have just let go of the steering wheel of that ship that we were given to ride or to own our homes. And so we need to get back to being the rudder of that ship and driving that ship and re-engaging with our friends and our family. And it also helps us to go forward and leave a legacy, as was already mentioned, so that we can leave a legacy for our kids and they can use our actions as a standard of what to do in life. So our group is Thursday nights at 7, from 7 to 8. It's right across the street at the La Costa Valley Clubhouse. And like I said, Michael and I will be leading it. It's for about 8 weeks. We'll be flexible on dates and times. And I just encourage you to make 2016 the year that you joined a Connect group and that you resharpen the tools that God designed you to be.
Thanks. Thank you, Dave. So good. Well, next up, Michael's here to represent our outreach hub. Not only do we've got, you know, the traditional connect groups, men, women, marriage, but we've got connect groups that like outreaches, teams that go down to Mexico every month, teams that go serve the homeless people, teams that just, they want to do outreach. And so I want Michael to first talk a little bit about connect groups and then the outreach. And don't rush yourself. This is the service. We always give them 5 minutes of bonus material that the 9:30 and the 8 o'clock don't get because there's nothing behind us. We're not going to go too long because we got to make kickoff. But we always give you 5 minutes of bonus material in this service that the other services don't get. So just kind of share like you did the last couple services.
Thanks, Pastor. So, okay, I'll get rid of that then. You know, you and I went to the same church school. Because I got really good at the church talk, the church walk, look a certain way, walk a certain way, you know, not just that, but who to talk to and how to say what you want to say to the right person. I got good at it. But in actuality, what I did is the walls that were built from childhood to teenager to young adult, it wasn't until I got in the church that those walls got completely built. I mean, it just went, the walls of Jericho, straight up. And I was very comfortable where I was. I was very comfortable in the self-hatred. I was very comfortable in the feeling sorry for myself. I didn't want anybody knowing anything about me. I didn't want them to know about the orphanage. I didn't want them to know about the smoking and the drugs and the alcohol starting at age 8. I didn't want them to know about the 2 failed marriages. I didn't want them to know about the oldest son that I have that's in jail, or the second son that walked out of the church. And I got very comfortable in the fact that I blamed myself for every single bit of it. So when our church merged here, actually before that, I met Bobby. And Bobby's the co-leader of Out to Reach. And actually, he founded it about 9 years ago. But I'll get back to that in a second. When you meet Bobby, you'll know him. 6'5", 250. Very scary looking, who loves to hug. He hugged me and I wanted to run, but my wife wouldn't let me. And, you know, I got to be friends with everybody that my wife was friends with, and a few of them sitting right there in the middle. wanted to keep them even further away because I knew something was just too real about that, and I didn't want to be real. So we came here, and then all of a sudden I hear about this life group. Well, I'm getting close to 50, somewhere around there. I got a daughter who's 16. Both my boys are grown and all that. So, you know, I mean, what am I going to do, you know, learn about life? And then I heard that it will transform me. Oh, that made it even worse. I don't want to go now. But the rope got by the neck, and I got pulled. And Pastor Josh was actually leading it. And then I heard about Courageous. And I had seen the movie, before. And I certainly didn't want to go to that. You know, we're going to talk about your parenting skills. Oh, really? Me? I got a kid in jail. You want to talk about parenting skills? So at the same time, I'm doing a life group and then this Men's Connect group. And in 12 weeks, the walls of Jericho came down. Because what I learned was is that in these life groups and in these Connect groups, and with men, I couldn't believe it, you could actually be real. You could be honest. You could admit everything that you're thinking. You could admit everything in your heart. And for once in my life, I wasn't judged by it. I was looked at and said, well, we love you anyway, and we're going to pray. I said, okay. And then the retreat happened, and then that's when the transformation truly happened. Now, I'm finding ways to try and mess it up every day. But I got great friends, you know, Dave here and Bobby, but my wife, more than anything. I love you, baby. Guys, I'm here to tell you that, and I believe this fully, that it's time for the men of God to stand up and be men of God. It's time for men of God to stand up in the church and say, we're going to take our rightful place as the head of the church, as the head of our families, as the head of our lives. No longer are we going to let the wives lead the way, but we're going to come alongside them and be men. I really believe it's time for us to do that. But in order for that to happen, we have to be real. We have to be open. We have to be vulnerable to being hurt again. Because as long as we do life with people, guess what? It's going to happen. But you know what? If Christ can forgive me, who am I to withhold forgiveness? Matthew 10:31 and Luke 24 says that we are made in the image of Christ, and we are to be like Christ. Everything Christ did was outreach. Everything. Everywhere he went, everywhere he met, it was outreach. Now, one thing I know for sure is that as long as there's people and as long as there's an enemy, there's going to be a need for outreach ministry, because there's going to be homeless, there's going to be needy, there's going to be broken. The first time I saw and handed a homeless child a sandwich and a backpack, and you would have thought that it was Christmas and birthday and 4th of July and everything rolled into one. People, there's a need out in our community. La Costa, of all places. You know, Oceanside, Carlsbad. It's supposed to be paradise. Not from where I was looking. In North County alone, there's about 16,000 homeless. Just in North County. In San Diego as a whole, it's about 29,000. And they expect it to go to about 32 to 33,000 by the end of the year in San Diego. Almost half of them are veterans. Now, I don't know about you all, but that's just wrong. So Bobby and I, and I'll end it here, the first Saturday of every month, we're going to pack up lunches and clothes, and we're gonna go out to the streets. And trust me, before you can minister to anybody about Christ, you must minister to their physical needs. If they're starving and they don't have socks in their feet, they don't want to hear about a loving God that's going to clothe you in love. Give them a pair of socks and a bottle of water and a jacket. build a relationship with them, and then God can go to work. And that's our mission. That's what we're here to do. And what I'm asking you folks to do is to just help us out. You know, not everybody's giftings or anointings to go out and minister to those on the street. It's a very hard, very, very difficult thing to do. We need you. It'll change you forever. I promise you that. But not only do we need people who go out with us, but we need people who are givers. And guess what? Every single one of us is a giver. If all you can give is a pair of socks, I'll take it. If all you can give me is a jacket, I'll take it. If you want to come help make sandwiches for us and then just pray, praise God, I'll pray for you too. We need help. And Pastor, I thank you for being in a church that doesn't just say they support outreach, they actually do. It's nice to be in that. And hope to see you out there helping, though, you know.
Here's the great thing about the outreach group is you can be part of the team. You can go out every month with them. You can go out once a year. I encourage every person in our church family to go out on an outreach at least one time a year. Go to Mexico with the Mexico team. Go out with Bobby and Michael. Just once a year, go do, you know, get your hands dirty. And what I also love is we actually have a Food Connect group starting. One of the girls in our church who's on the Food Network, she had all those incredible cupcakes last week out here. They started a Food Connect group where if you love to bake, they just cook and then give the food to these guys to take out to the streets. Would you give this team a hand? You guys can go. Thank you, guys. Before we leave, would you just close your eyes with me just for a moment? And I want to invite you today to join a team of very real people. People who've been broken in life. People who've got some baggage and got some issues. But people who just want to surrender to Jesus and live for Jesus. I want to invite you to join us. I want to invite you this morning to surrender your life to Jesus. And you know if you're one of the religious posers or just somebody that is just going through the motion. Maybe you're here today because you have to be just to keep peace in your marriage. Like your wife's dragging you here, your husband's dragging you here, and it's just easier to come than to get in a fight every week. You know, and you're just kind of going through the motions, and you're here. You don't really want to be here, but you're here. Today's the day you need to just surrender your life to Jesus. And I want to give you that opportunity. I want to pray with you to surrender your life to Jesus. And you know, you have this tugging in your heart right now to give in to what I'm asking you to do with me and just say a very simple prayer. And you know who you are. I got the easiest job in the world because it is supernatural. The Spirit of God is tugging at your heart right now. Like, I don't have to intellectually persuade you or try to talk you into anything. You know whether or not God is tugging at your heart and you need to make this decision or not. Some of you felt it many times and you've just, you know, you've said no and you've tried to drown out that voice and I'm not ready and you talk yourself out of it. Today's the day to just give in. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come to the front. You don't even have to pray anything out loud. You can just pray this out of your heart today. But if you're here today, and it's time for you to truly surrender your life to Jesus, with nobody looking around out of respect, would you just slip up your hand and say, I'd like to pray with you today. Just right now, raise your hand where I can see it and say, I'd like to pray with you today. Thank you. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Is there anybody else? I appreciate it. You can put them down. The prayer is very simple. In your heart, just say, Jesus, today, I give you my life. I give you my life. Jesus, forgive me for every time you haven't been first. Jesus, thank you for forgiving me. Jesus, thank you that you will never, ever, ever hold my past against me, but you will forgive and forget. In your